Lord, I just pray that you'd be with us today. We pray that as we look at this very first cause that we have on our list of 17 causes, that you'd help us to understand better what we need to do in terms of integration, but also how we need to challenge your people to really look at things a bit differently than we've customarily done. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our own hearts, help us as we think this through, and all things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first cause that we want to look at, we're going to start working through those one cause each time, and you know that'll take us 17 weeks to get through. This one, I think, is there's a reason why this one is missional cause number one, and that's living life as mission. If we don't have that as a core foundational concept, we kind of lose all the rest of it in a lot of ways. It's interesting. I had a conversation with a pastor this week, and we talked not about this, but we talked about the whole idea of the fact that Christians separate out their church life from the rest of their life. And it was interesting that he really readily conceded that fact. That is the way it is. That people envision, Christians envision what they do in their church life as separate from. We got to talking about that and talking about how, you know, a group of Christians that have a similar passion could live that out in the world together and do something, you know, yes, on the job, but even outside of their job to implement in the community and then come back and meet together for prayer and Bible study to study and find answers to the questions that they're facing out in the community so that when they go back out, they can be fresh and moving forward. And when I talked about that, he immediately latched on to the concept of, well, you know, there's a whole group of nurses and healthcare workers that, you know, maybe there's something could be done to gather, you know, these Christian medical providers together and get them to start thinking about these things. And then it was interesting when I did that, then I mentioned the fact that for each one of these vocational areas, that there is a theological foundation for that. That in essence, and I highlighted for healthcare workers, having a medical theology understanding, a theology of suffering as a core concept, and a theology of mental illness, and a theology of disability, and theology of healthcare, and all these kinds of topics. And his response was one of being stunned, literally stunned. His response was, there something like that exists? And I said, yeah, of course. The scripture touches on all these things and talks about these things. And I said, the problem is that we don't provide our lay people the language, the theological understanding and the theological language to reflect on their own vocation from a biblical perspective, so they have language to discuss with other people on the job about how the scripture connects with what it is that they're doing. And this was a totally new thought to a guy that he had told me earlier in the conversation that he had been in the ministry for 37 years. Total new thought. So this what we're looking at as we walk through our causes is apparently, for the most part, off the radar of the vast majority of Christian leaders, okay? And certainly, because it's off the radar for them, it's off the radar for, you know, what, 99% of Christian believers, probably? Does this make sense? And so this first cause, I think, is important. So let's kind of talk a look and look at that, and I'll walk through this very quickly. And I will share this with you because I think these are things that all of us, especially this one, is foundational for everything. So individual missional Christians play a vital role in promoting missional engagement and incarnating the gospel in diverse contexts. And so they address various challenges and issues to equip other believers with the knowledge, skills, and attitudes needed to live out their faith authentically. And through training programs, mentorship initiatives, and community partnerships, these individuals participate in bridging the sacred-secular divide, cultivating holistic missional engagement, building bridges with other worldviews, empowering emerging leaders, creating sustainable practices, forming missional congregations, and integrating missional principles into daily lives. So missional Christians do the following things. This first one is the one that I was talking to him about. Overcome the sacred-secular dichotomy. Missional Christians actively work to overcome this dichotomy by integrating faith into all aspects of life. This means viewing every area, whether personal, professional, or social, as an opportunity to reflect Christ's love and values. So we see in Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. They understand their vocations, relationships, and daily interactions are platforms for mission. And that's core. Unless Christians begin to understand that, everything else that we do at Mission University, everything else that we're about, falters at that point. So one practical way of doing that is to see their work not just as a means of earning a living, but as a calling to serve others and to glorify God. And so this mindset shift transforms mundane tasks into meaningful contributions to the mission of God. One of the things I pointed out to this pastor about this, as we talked about this, I said, look at the Gospels. The Gospels don't tell us a huge amount about the disciples. I mean, we get the names and very little detail about them. It doesn't talk to us about their spouses and their parents and their kids and their you know, families and what they do in life and what their, you know, their hobbies that they have. And, you know, I mean, there's just, it doesn't tell us a whole lot about it. But the one thing that we have, not for all of them, but for several of them, the one common thing and only common thing that is a descriptor about them is their occupation. Why is that? Why is it that we only know something about their occupation? Could it be simply because of the fact that God knows that everybody, because of going back to Genesis, all of us occupy a significant percentage of our time on our jobs, and so therefore they did also, even in that day, and living out the mission of God in and through their vocation is one of the core concepts, as we see Paul being a tent maker and others being a fisherman and others being a tax collectors and others being other things. They lived it out in those realms, and that's the way they did it. That was a new thought. Hadn't thought about that before, this person. And so what I'm suggesting is that they engage in conversations about faith in secular spaces, breaking down barriers and fostering understanding between different worldviews by living authentically and intentionally, bridging the gap between the sacred and secular realms, embodying the gospel message in their everyday lives. That's it. That's the core issue of everything that we're about. But the reality is that we, and I'm just thinking about, maybe I should just say it for me. I'm so used to talking about this all the time. I mean, that's basically, as you know, everything I do relates to this in some way. So much so that I forget that the vast majority of people are not even thinking this, are not even addressing this, okay? This guy serves in a very large church. So look at the rest of these, of the areas that missional Christians do, the actions that they take. Number one, they overcome the sacred-secular dichotomy. Number two, they cultivate holistic missional engagement. Based on Ephesians 4:11-13, they realize that all of us are participating, and all of us are to minister to others. And so, therefore, it's a holistic aspect to everything they do. Whether in business, education, healthcare, or any other field, they seek to bring about positive change and transformation guided by biblical principles. They integrate their faith into their professions, viewing their work as a means to serve God and others. And additionally, missional Christians engage in intentional missional practices such as evangelism, social justice initiatives, and community service, and they see those activities not as isolated events, but as part of a holistic lifestyle centered on loving God and loving others. That's huge. Thirdly, they build bridges with other worldviews, as we see in 1 Corinthians 9:22, that same verse we keep coming up with. To the weak, I become weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. And so the reality is that they seek opportunities to engage in dialogue, build relationships, and foster understanding across cultural religious backgrounds. They listen attentively, ask questions, and genuinely seek to comprehend other people's perspectives because they want to be sensitive to cultural nuances and avoid imposing their beliefs, but rather seek common ground for meaningful connections so that they can introduce Christ's love in action and create spaces for mutual learning and growth so that people can begin to understand the gospel. They empower emerging leaders by recognizing the potential impact of young people and millennials in advancing God's kingdom. And so they invest in mentorship, training, and discipleship programs to equip the next generation. And they create sustainable missional practices. As we see in Proverbs 15, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. What they want to do is look at engaging in strategic planning, resource management, collaboration to ensure effectiveness and longevity in their mission efforts on the job, off the job, in the community, wherever they go. They want to work together to accomplish something and it be sustainable. They want to form missional congregations that live out the mission of God within their communities. So they actively participate in church planning, discipleship, and community outreach because those things are core to everything that they're about. And then they integrate missional principles into life. And so we see that in Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heavens. They apply missional values, love, justice, compassion in all contexts, seeking in every interaction, decision, and opportunity as part of God's mission. So they intentionally reflect on how they can live out the gospel message in practical ways, whether at home, at work, or in their communities. And that integration of faith and mission leads to transformed lives, vibrant communities, and a more impactful expression of God's kingdom on earth. So individual missional congregations play a vital role in advancing God's mission by embodying Christ's love, engaging with diverse worldviews, empowering emerging leaders, fostering sustainable practices, forming missional communities, and integrating missional principles into every aspect of life. And their actions reflect a deep commitment to living out the gospel and making a tangible difference in the world around them. I don't know what else to say this, except that apparently for some people, this is radical thinking. Okay. Even though it is biblical to the core. I mean, it's what we see throughout all the scriptures and obviously what we see in the gospels. and with the disciples and with the early Christians. Can you see how these things about living life as mission, while of course it applies to missional practice and the school of missional practice, but in a larger way applies to every aspect of everything that we do? See that? Yeah, a good yes would be great, or no, or up or down, or some kind of reaction. What do you guys think? Do you see that? So let me ask, do your faculty get this? Do they get this holistic integration part and understand why this is true? Now, the example that I used was in our discussion was healthcare, but the other example that we talked about was the creative types, the people that are involved in various art forms and interested in various cultural aspects. And when we talked about that, I said, well, you know, to help them to understand that, they would need courses in things like, or in study of like theology of beauty and theology of technology and theology of other things that relate to what it is that they actually do. This is why Mission University is unique, because people don't do that. They don't think this way. So one of the things that I'm talking to our digital content writers about is how do we break through the fog of Christian thinking that think that all Christian universities are the same and that Christian living is all the same and they all heard it before, there's nothing new that anybody can talk about, when they don't even really realize the fact that they've left out the probably the most important thing that there is, and that is how all this integrates with everything in life. And thus, they've allowed Christians to separate the sacred from the secular and live in these little compartments that don't impact anything at all as a result. Any thoughts about that before I wrap up and we pray and we move on? Any thoughts, comments about this? What do you think? Should I not have been stunned? I just hadn't thought about that. Anyway, go ahead.
I do think that there are people that sit back and believe that that's why they hired a minister.
Yeah.
That's his job to go forth and conquer, and their job is to show up Sunday mornings. And I mean, I really do think that is the mindset. Yeah. And in the United States, of course, we have that. We've been ingrained to think, you know, separation of church and state.
Right.
So, you know, this is at its best. We tend to think of separating church out of everything,
yeah.
You know, not just state, but everything. So
right.
It's like closet Christians. We're afraid to say Merry Christmas. We're afraid to say things because that becomes, that's not right. Popular. But, you know, that's what we're paying the minister for. He's supposed to go out and exactly. Do these things.
Right.
And so.
Yeah, and we talked about that. One of the things that we talked about is the fact that, you know, for decades, at least here in the U.S., across denominations, I think, churches used to have bulletins, and at the bottom of the bulletin, they would put a little slogan, every member a minister. Maybe you saw that in the bottom of the bulletin. And I asked him about that. I said, you remember that? He said, yeah, I remember that. I said, so how did that work? Did people get that? He said, well, no, not really. And I said, why? The reason is because clergy persons own the word for ministry. And so we could sit there and say, you need to be involved in ministry and minister. And person sitting in the pew is saying, yes, you should. not me, because that's not me. That's you. Yeah, absolutely. We'll cheer you on. Okay. And so we can have life groups that meet together and study the scripture and all that stuff. And that's what we do. But in terms of actually getting out and doing something and serving, you know, that's a difficult task, a difficult thought. And integrating the whole thing into life, including my job. Wow. That calls for a level of commitment that I'm not sure that we're ready to take. So, yes, I think that this is critically important. And so let's be praying about that, because this is the message that we have to get out, the core issue and message. And so let's pray. Lord, I do want to thank you for our time. And I pray as we think about this in our own lives and the integration that we need to do. It is so difficult to do, frankly, unless we every morning get up and turn to you and say, Lord, help me today to integrate this into everything that I do. Help me to see life from your vantage point. We pray that you would help us to do that each day and help others to do the same. And all the things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.